This podcast is sponsored by Aurora Packaging Solutions, a global packaging solutions provider leading the transition to a more sustainably packaged future. They specialize in developing packaging and visual communication solutions that reduce the impact on the environment and bring sustainability goals to life. With a focus on partnership and service, they create a custom solution for your business. To learn more, please visit www.ORORAPACKAGING.com. Welcome to Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors. Today's guest is Dana Masora. She is the founder of Dana Masora Consulting. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you, Corey? Very nice seeing you again.
Good to see you again. Like we were just talking about, we saw each other in Europe recently in Amsterdam at Packaging Europe's Sustainable Packaging event. That was incredible. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about your background. How did you get into this space?
Well, are you asking about the space of packaging or of sustainability or of consulting?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you work in Europe, because this is where I was when it all started, and you work somehow in packaging, at the time I was with the Dow polyethylene business, you just cannot avoid focusing on what's the big challenge, which is sustainability of plastic packaging, with a very concrete definition of sustainability, which is the link, direct link with circular economy.
Right.
And then we focus on circular economy in Europe, mostly because the legislation and the regulators are really driving us into that direction. But then I discovered that in other parts of the world, circular economy has also a meaning, and it's very important for the future of packaging.
Yeah, well said. Very true. So what kinds of things do you and the people at your consultancy help people and companies do?
So in Europe, my company, which is me, basically, I'm focusing on my work with a consortium, CFLEX, which stands for Circular Economy for Flexible Packaging. It's a consortium of over 180 companies from the entire value chain of flexible packaging. And we were really put together with a very concrete goal, which was to identify the issues, the challenges in making flexible packaging initially recyclable, but in general, compliant with the idea of circular economy, and then drive the solutions to implementation. So that's what we do, and we're all very passionate about. And I'm finding that when you work in packaging, moreover, when you work in plastic packaging or flexible packaging, and when you get into circular economy, you become passionate. And many people like me, we're looking at our work as almost a way of living beyond being just a job.
I love that. That's exactly right. We are passionate individuals who are guided by this drive to make the world a better place and to help any way we can. This is very excellent insight, information. I appreciate it. So a company will come to you and they will say, hey, we're using flexible packaging materials. Can you guide us in how to encourage recycling of these? Or can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah. So as a consultant, I'm really dedicating my work in the teamwork, which we do together in CFLEX. Yes, it is all about all the different companies which are engaged in a way or another one into flexible packaging. Either they are producers of raw materials or converters who take raw materials and make a packaging, or brand owners who fill the packaging and put it on the market, or they can be technology providers, equipment providers, can be associations for the value chain. Basically, what we do is we really look at the challenges and start tackling these challenges with a systemic approach and thinking how together we can address these challenges in a way which individual companies could not do it. Some of the things which we did at CFLEX, and again, as a result of the work of consultants with the stakeholder companies are things like the design guidelines for a circular economy, or things like putting together a new innovative concept of technologies which deliver quality recycling. Or we run a lot of studies which provided the value chain and the industry altogether in Europe with a type of data which this industry didn't have. Data which empower companies or organizations like the producer responsibility organizations to take decisions in a way which is solid, robust, and fact-based. Decisions like what's the right infrastructure to invest on? How much capacity do we need? How should we complement the different technologies to deliver on certain goals? How can you make such a decision, a heavy decision, if you don't have the facts of the data? So these are the kind of things which we make available and which we also leverage into things like, as I mentioned, the design guidelines for a circular economy. Very important tool for everyone who designs packaging today in Europe or anywhere else to design it from the beginning with the end of life in mind. Designing from the beginning in such a way that it optimizes the environment, impact on the environment.
Right. Yes, that's it. We must think about these things with the end of life in mind. That's exactly right. The circular nature of this material is possible. It's not easy. And we have a long ways to go. But I totally agree with you. It's the future. We must be a circular economy for all of these packaging materials. So I also wanted to talk about your work in Africa. You're a foundation. Can you speak to the ASASE Foundation that you're the director of as well?
Yes. So that's the name of the foundation is ASASE.
Okay.
Bana. And in the Ghanaian local language, ASASE means Mother Earth.
Oh, wow. So
we came up with this name because the whole idea is to respect the environment. And the mission is to help women from underprivileged communities, which are, in the meantime, at the seashore, because Accra, where we're based, it's a big city on the ocean, basically. So help women from these underprivileged communities become successful entrepreneurs in plastic collection and recycling, with a very important specificity, which is by helping them create social enterprises anchored in these communities. And the sense of social enterprise is that they learn how to give back to the community. So the foundation is helping with seed money to put together recycling, collection and recycling for plastic, which is deviated from litter, which eventually we get to ocean. And by getting this support, they also get the responsibility to give back to the community in investing part of the profit for the benefit of the community. Wow. So we started like this with a very clear idea of in what would be the mission and the scope, but with very modest ambitions, because resting humble, what did I know when I started? Not much. It was somebody retiring from Dow Chemical and deciding to do something good. And I found that that's a place which is attracting me and I can find wonderful people to work with, but I didn't think high. Today, our foundation has already 3 operations in 3 communities in Accra. We got to that level. Each operation is sized for 2,000 tons of plastic waste collected and put into recycling in our plants. So we also have 3 plants building the 4th now. And we did it because we partnered with people who believed in us. I started it with money from Dow, my late employer, from Dow Impact Fund. But then I got support from the Alliance to End Plastic Waste.
Oh, okay.
Which helped me scale up the first plant. And right now we are reaching the end of a 3-year grant co-financed by the European Union and the Alliance to End Plastic Waste. And I'm very happy about it because this provided us with the possibility to experience the private-public partnership, because money are really private and public with very different approaches, but both towards the end, the same goal of helping initiatives like ours to make an impact.
A quick break for our sponsor this month. Now is the time to go beyond recycling. SmartSolve pioneers certified bio-based water-soluble packaging technologies that empower consumers and businesses to effortlessly reduce plastic waste. Our non-toxic materials quickly and completely disperse when combined with water and agitation, thus making them easily recyclable, biodegradable, and even zero waste. If zero waste packaging interests you, please contact us today at info@smartsolve.com. That's incredible. Well done. That's a huge feat. And I'm amazed to see how you're helping people live better lives and help the planet. That's incredible. Can you talk to a little bit about the types of materials? I know it's plastic, but what kinds of plastic are they generally collecting and able to recycle there?
Yes. So it's pretty much based on the people behaviors and living and specifics. In Ghana, a lot of access, in general, the access to water, it's mostly through water sachet.
Mm-hmm.
Polyflexible packaging, half a liter, which anyone can afford to buy. And anyone would need at least two, if not three sachets per day. There is no any kind of waste collection. There is no disposal. There are no bins anywhere. So everyone is just dropping on the street. So we are focusing on recycling the sachet. But not only, because there is also, I was from the beginning interested in polyethylene and polypropylene. So everything which is polyolefins, for a very simple reason. I realized that the access to market, so the capital to start a recycling plant for polyolefin, would be accessible compared to building a plant for recycling PET, the PET bottles. So I made the choice to focus on polyolefins and make sure that everything is recycled in Ghana, so we close the loop of plastic packaging in Ghana. So we don't have only sachet, we also have some rigids, but first of all, there is less use by people, and what it's used, it's being recycled because it has a known value. We did a lot of work educating people to understand the value of flexible polyethylene and understand that it's not only important that they get clean water to drink, but also they can catch the value of the sachet after it's used. So that's why we do, obviously, recycling, collection, recycling, but we also do a lot of education, including education of children at school, such that they understand what means recycling plastics.
Well, that's awesome. Wow. Really good job. It's sad to hear that there's no bins, that they just don't, it's not even an option for people to throw the trash away in or recycle it in their streets or in their homes. Gosh, that's fascinating to hear. So what kinds of items would they sell in the rigid plastic? What would be an kind of an everyday item sold there?
In rigid plastic, if you stay in the area of polyolefins, from the hard polyethylene, they are the containers for cooking oil.
Mm-hmm.
These are big containers. So they always buy like a big container. This is very, the yellow containers are very visible.
Mm-hmm.
And then in polypropylene, it's a lot of household items, bowls, baskets, all kind of really household things, and also chairs and furniture. In PET, obviously the PET bottles, it's just that those are more expensive. So not that many people buy the water in the PET bottles.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So they're buying it maybe in a sachet to drink straight out of the bag, really. Wow.
Yes.
Interesting. Do you have plans to open more facilities and expand?
Yes. So I said it that when I started, I was humble and I thought I would be happy if I can show a model. I think we showed the model. We showed how you can create these operations, what would be the ideal size to fit a community and remain something which it's meaningful for a community as workplace, as possibilities for personal development and create jobs for women as well in this industry. And now really we reach a point where the desire is to get financing to scale up the model. I also, probably because my entire life I worked in corporations, so I am convinced that whatever you do, it has to have a business sense. It has to be a business case. Otherwise, it is not going to work. And I think we all realize that no matter how much good you want to do, you can't count on grants and philanthropic support. That's right. Not a solution. This can make people feel good, but that's not how you create solutions which are truly scalable and can make an impact and can have a meaning in the whole problematic of plastics today. So this is where I am today. And I look at how difficult it is, especially when you have initiatives in the global south, to get access to money in a fair way. Money exists. We all know that there's a lot of money. It's just that all the conditions have to be safe enough, such as investors put the money. I do believe that the Global South, including Ghana, need a new way of looking into financing. Yeah. Because we spoke about, right? There are no bins. There is no an established infrastructure to collect the waste, not plastic, waste, right? This has to be created. If we want to harvest the growth opportunities, which certainly will come from the Global South, not from the North, we know it, then we need to really take care of the waste issue. And this requires investment in infrastructure. And unless there is investment in infrastructure, how can you just focus on one material, plastic?
Right.
So that's probably one of the biggest problems on the table these days when we look at what's next.
Exactly. Yeah. And how can we all work together to solve this issue? How can we all make it mutually beneficial, right? Are your collectors or the staff that you're working with, are they collecting it mostly off the street, or do you have some kind of a system in a river or both?
No, from the street. There is not yet significant collection from cleaning the rivers. There are some emerging small projects, but nothing significant. It's mostly from the street. We are also piloting a concept which is community collection centers, which would mean that people come and sell it.
Oh, wow. Small.
Yeah. And again, we are observing exactly the same thing I was talking about. You need to finance it.
Yep.
Right? In Europe or in North America, there are the taxes which pay for the collection. Nobody is questioning why is a collection subsidized by taxes. Right. Well, in Ghana or in general in the South, subsidy doesn't exist. So in my project, I need to cover all the costs. It's not sustainable.
Right.
So again, subsidies, the intervention of the governments to put this in place and global intervention to finance the huge cost of the infrastructure are the things which there are on the table. It's one of the key topics being discussed in the negotiations for the Global Treaty on Plastic, as we know, but it's not easy.
Yes. Here in Oregon, where I'm from in the U.S., we have a bottle deposit for our recycling. And people collect the cans and bottles and they bring them back to the store and they get their 10 cents per container. And it's been very successful. Is that something that you think might be of value in these areas?
Yeah, well, you see, what I was saying about the collection centers we are experiencing in the communities, it's this concept, right? So people come with their packaging from home and they give it to us and they get money paid on kilogram. It is, but the deposit systems cost money and are subsidized by the industry. So again, everything gets back into it will cost. Right. Let's face it, we look at the big problems in Europe or in general in the global north to be addressed, like building the capacity in chemical recycling by changing the way mechanical recycling is done into more quality recycling. Right. Technology is there. You just need to put the money to invest.
Yes. And it's going to take all of us. It's going to take consumers. It's going to take companies. It's going to take the government. Are you getting support from the local government there where you've set these up?
Yes. Ghana, it's one of the reasons for which because I was looking at few countries and I chose Ghana. And indeed, ever since, the government is very engaged. Ghana was the second country after Indonesia to sign up to the Global Plastic Action Partnership. And the government is sponsoring a broad project, which is driving the plastic recycling effort. It is. But again, the government doesn't have money in Ghana.
Yeah. And
they have a lot of goodwill.
Right, right. They have good intentions, right? Yeah. Excellent.
That's it.
Well, I'm very impressed with what you're doing. Nice job. Keep it up. Well done. How could other people be of assistance to you? Are you looking for donations? Are you looking for partners?
At this point, no. I don't look for donations because I think it's time for us to grow out of grants. Mm-hmm. And I want our next stage to become investment money, because if we can't do it, then it means it's not a scalable model. Right. However, everyone with a will and a know-how who is willing to give time, give advice, we need support in so many ways. Somebody who would come for a week or a month to work with us could help my team get the necessary know-how to do planning, upgrade the tools, do specific things like improve the water treatment installation. Whatever knowledge which exists in the area of plastic collection and recycling, which someone is willing to share, we're taking it and we would be very grateful. Many people helped us. The Alliance to End Plastic Waste gave us immense access to expertise, which made a huge difference. And each time when somebody tells me, how can I help? I'm like, let's talk about many ideas and you pick.
That's great. Well, and that it does take a diverse thought process, right? We have to think about this in many different ways. Well said, well done. So how do people get in touch with you if they're interested in investing or partnering?
On our website, asasejehash.com. You Google me, Dana Mosora, and you find my social media. And if not, my email, dmosora@danamosora-consulting.eu. But we have a blog as well and a way of contacting through the website.
Great. Well, thank you, Dana. This has been really excellent. Anything else you wanted to say before we wrap this up?
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's always interesting to answer questions in this area. What I want to say is that I had, before starting this work in Africa, 35 years of corporate career, and I was always thought that I'm happy and successful, but I was never as happy as I am now in Africa. It is the type of work which is so much more fulfilling that I encourage everyone like me who gets to the retirement age and says, oh, I feel like I can do something, to think about this kind of giving job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. That, what a great way to end it. Donating our time, donating our resources is so much, so valuable and so important for a happy life, I think. Well said. Well, thank you again. We really appreciate your time and your wisdom, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you very much.
This episode is sponsored by SpecWrite, the first purpose-built platform for specification management. So much has changed when it comes to packaging, and there's a new book to help you stay ahead of the curve, The Evolution of Products and Packaging, written by longtime packaging executive Mr. Matthew Wright, helps you unpack industry trends and explains how you can use data to drive packaging innovation and sustainability. Download your free copy today at specwrite.com/book. That's SPECWRIGHT.com/book.